Well, let me add my welcome to the one you've already had from Tim. The way in a world of choice. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. We like to choose and have choices. We like to choose our government, or to choose what sort of a job we're going to have, who to marry, or whether or not to marry, what coffee to have. We like to choose where to live. And our choices are expanding all the time. So now we can choose all sorts of things. We can choose our career. We can choose our schools for our children. We can choose, in fact, to change aspects of our bodies that we don't like through plastic surgery. But I want to suggest that sometimes the burden of choosing is too much. Sometimes you can have too much choice. I mean, I don't know if you've recently tried to buy a toothbrush. You know, you'd think it'd be simple. It's a toothbrush. But, you know, little do you know the choices that are going to face you when you go to the supermarket. Obviously, there's going to be a choice of colour, but that's all right. You know the rules. Blue for boys, red or purple, pink for girls. That's fine. But then there's a choice of how hard. Hard, soft, medium, or somewhere in between all of those. And then there's ones with bendy necks, ones with double bendy necks. There's ones where all the bristles are straight, ones where the bristles are all at different levels. There's ones with a choice of different heads for a different day of the week. There's ones with floss action, ones with precision action, rechargeable ones, battery ones, musical ones, sonic ones, ones that spin, flex care, hydro care, healthy white, sonic care for kids. And you just go, how do you choose? How do I choose? I mean, how do I know what sort of a toothbrush I am? Am I a Braun Oral-B Triumph Professional Care 9500 rechargeable electric toothbrush sort of a guy? Or, you know, maybe not. Maybe I'm a Philips Sonicare HX6731/02 Healthy White Deluxe rechargeable toothbrush sort of a guy. And, you know, how do you know? How do you choose? When you're in the aisle at Tesco's and you're faced with that sort of a choice, well, you've basically got three options, haven't you? You can either say, well, blow the whole thing and I'm going to take none. Just, you know, turn your back on the whole horrible thing and, you know, run as fast as you can out of Tesco's. You know, if it's that complicated, I'd rather have gum disease. Or you can try them all, just in case you miss out. You buy a selection of each different type and you use them on some kind of rotor system like Chelsea football players. And the fear of having the wrong sort of toothbrush need never face you again. Or thirdly, you can tell yourself, look, they're all the same, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to choose the one I like the best, the one that, you know, goes with the colour of my bathroom. Or, you know, the one I've always had because it reminds me of the first toothbrush my mummy and daddy gave me, or whatever it happens to be. And you do so safe in the knowledge that your choice matters nothing at all, because they're all basically the same. And when it comes to religion in this country, there are a wide range of choices, and the fact that we're growing into an increasingly multicultural society, is the way some people would describe it, sort of emphasises this fact that there's a lot of choices out there on the religious market. And I think sometimes that can leave us feeling with that same kind of bewilderment, like me stood in Tesco's trying to choose a toothbrush. And we go for those three options again. So some people say, well, look, if there's that many choices and the great and the good throughout history have not been able to decide which one was right, how can little old me be expected to decide? Blow it. I'll have none. How can I be expected to make a decision? Or we try a bit of all. We sort of hedge our bets. That if you've heard the song by Mike Skinner of The Streets called Never Went to Church, it's about him struggling with maintaining his sort of neutrality on religion, his no religion for me stance in the wake of his dad's death. And at the end he says something really telling. He says this, he's talking to his dad in his head, I'm going to see a priest, a rabbi and a Protestant clergyman. You always said I should hedge my bets. And we think, well, you know, why not hedge your bets, pick and mix? Why can't we have the best bits of them all and sort of mash them all together? You know, sort of take the wisdom from one and take some of the teachings from another, mix them all up like a pick and mix in the supermarket, or like the greatest sandwich ever known to man. You know, we'll have a bit of everything. Why not? Or thirdly, we tell ourselves they're all the same. Say, well, I'm going to choose, but I'm going to choose for an arbitrary reason. I'm going to choose because that's where I was brought up. or because I like getting up on Sunday mornings for church, and I don't really want to do it on Saturdays, or whatever the arbitrary reason might be. So, you know, that sort of view is, you know, choosing to be a Christian or a Buddhist is no different than, you know, the choice we've all just made of coffee over there. You know, they all eventually get you to roughly the same kind of place anyway. So why not just go for the one that you like the best, the one that suits you? Now, here's a problem with that kind of thinking. We're taking the way we might approach choices of sort of a good, like toothbrushes, and transferring that to the realm of religion. The problem with that is when you put Jesus' words into the middle of those, that way of thinking, because it doesn't quite fit. Just listen to one thing that he said. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, Jesus pulls the rug from under that kind of way of thinking. Jesus, it seems, wants to narrow down our choices, reduce our options. He doesn't want to force us to choose him, but he does want to persuade us that he's the only choice worth making. He says, you want to come to the Father, you want life with God now and forever. I'm the way. I'm it. There's no other choice. Now, our multicultural society and the way we like to have choice and the way we often do things and think about things here in our culture, that kind of statement is unwelcome. It seems slightly rude, it seems narrow-minded, it seems arrogant, and actually, if we're honest, maybe we think it's a cynical power play. You know, of course Jesus is going to tell us that he's the way. It's like Dad's telling you that no one washes whiter. He wants to make a sale, so of course he's going to tell you he's the best. Well, let's just try and understand for a minute or two, why it is that Jesus can say that? What is it he means when he says, I'm the way? And he's basically got two things in mind. He says, I'm the way and there's no other way because no one else is God on earth. No one else is God on earth. If we want to know someone, anyone, excuse me, we need them to communicate with us, don't we? If you want to get to know me, what I'm like, you need to talk to me, either email or phone or like this, or better, in person. And Jesus says, well, that's what's happening with God. I'm God come to meet human beings in person. And no one else is that. Jesus claims that's exactly what he's about. God himself come to meet us. And he says he's the Son of God and he's perfectly united with God the Father. And as such, no one is a better expert on the subject of God. Because here he is, God himself come to walk among human beings and meet them. No one else is God on earth. And secondly, he's basically saying, well, no one else can deal with what keeps God and us separate. He says, I'm the only way to God because I'm the only one that can deal with what keeps God and us and human beings apart. See, it's not just communication, it's not just information that we need in order to know God, according to Jesus. There's actually another problem. Our rejection of God. The Bible calls it sin, but it's not just a sort of a list of naughty things, bad things we've done. It's more about a sort of a position, a stance, a way of standing in God's world and saying, thank you very much, we'll take your gifts, but we don't want you, the giver. A way of standing in God's world and saying, I don't want God to be God, even though I'm quite happy to take the stuff that he gives. And of course that's going to cause a rift in any relationship, isn't it? I hate being ignored. I don't know about you. That's going to wreck any relationship. There needs to be forgiveness, doesn't there? But you know, it's worse than that, because the Bible says forgiveness can't come unless the punishment for the way we've treated God is paid. God can't just sweep everything under the carpet. He can't just ignore the fact that we've all rejected him. He's got a universe to run. God has to, and he must, and he will put down all rebellion in his world. That's what he has to do. What he doesn't have to do, though, is give us an option, give us a choice. And that's what Jesus is saying he has done. Jesus comes into the world, and he dies the kind of death that we deserve for our rejection of God. He dies a sort of a God-forsaken death. And he rises again to give us the kind of with God forever life that only he deserves. See, Jesus says, I'm God walking on earth, and I'm the only one that can deal with what keeps people and God separate. He does it by providing forgiveness. So you see, if we then take that and we look at those three options that we thought of, as I'm stood in Tesco's trying to buy a toothbrush, if we think about religion like that, well, it doesn't work with Jesus. It doesn't work. Jesus says, no one can come to the Father except through me. So if we say, look, I can't decide because there's so many options, well, that's a risky strategy, because saying I'm not going to make a decision is really a different way of making a decision. If Jesus is the way and we reject the way, well, then there's no other way. And it's the same, the pick and mix thing doesn't work either. Jesus says he's the way. He doesn't mix well with other ways. If we want to try and mix and match him with another way to God, well, the only way we can do that is by saying, Jesus, no, when you said you were the way, you were wrong. Which again is another way of, well, that's not pick and mix, that's actually just a different way of rejecting Jesus. He doesn't mix well. And what about the third option? Choosing him but refusing to accept that he's any different from any of the others. Well, again, Jesus doesn't leave that option open to us. He says, I'm the way. And you either accept me as that or not at all. See, Jesus doesn't claim to be simply one option among many. He actually claims to be offering a different sort of product altogether, really. He says, I am the way. Do you want to come to the Father through me or not? That's the choice, he says. So how is it Jesus would have us respond? If those three options are not adequate, what sort of response does Jesus say is adequate? Well, two words, turn and trust. You see, here we are going our own way through our lives, the way we think is right, and it's effectively going away from God. And Jesus calls on us and says, stop trusting in your own way, turn away from it. Turn and trust in me as the way. Come back to God through me. Give your life into my hands. That's what he says. Come to God through me. I'm the only choice worth making. Thank you. You've listened very well.